Your national orienteering podcast. Map and compass, navigation skill, orienteering competition.
Jeg bommet noe jævlig på bossen her oppe.
Running like a motherfucker. Your national orienteering podcast.
Welcome to Your national orienteering podcast. This week we have a lot to talk about. There has been selection races for the first World Cup round all over Europe, I would say. Sprint races both in Czech Republic, Finland, Denmark, Norway. And have I forgot something then? Yeah, and Austria also. Switzerland,
yeah,
of
we
course.
Also had races in Latvia. We have some selections from a lot of different countries going to the World Cup, so we have a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, and about selections, just after we published the last episode, it was officially that Mathias Kubutz is selected for the Olympic marathon in Paris for the Swiss team there. He did the qualifier in Paris Marathon in April, but now he is officially selected. I don't know how it is in Switzerland. Was that formalia or is it complicated, this Ivo?
I think it's previously it's been some episodes where people have made the limit and they've not been selected, so it's in theory it wasn't sure, but this year, I mean, the selection criteria, international criteria, is so much stricter. So when he was able to manage that, I think it was pretty clear that he would be selected. And also with all the media attention he got down here after his 2:07 in Paris, I think it would have been a big drama story if they had passed him and not let him run the Olympics. So yeah, of course, you never know until you have been officially selected, and now he knows that he will be at the start line in Paris the August the 10th.
We mentioned in the that it's been a lot of selections in Great Britain. They had the selection races earlier on, and last week they announced the selections both for the Sprint World Cup 1 and 2, or maybe we call it just World Cup 1, and also the selection for the European champs in August, actually. We can start with the Sprint selections from Great Britain. Is there any surprises here as far as you can see?
No, they have selected seven men and seven women. And yeah, the big name missing is, of course, Chris Jones. But I don't think that was a surprise. Even if he did run two selection races and he won both of them with big, big margin, I think it was never an option to go for this World Cup round, as it's collided with some European championship in mountain running, trail running. So that's no surprise to see that his name is lacking. Ralph Street is the big name on the men's side. On the women's side, they have a very good team led by Megan Carter-Davis. It will be interesting to see how they line up in the sprint relay without Chris, who is going to be the second man and who will be the second woman next to Megan Carter-Davis. Charlotte Ward is maybe the obvious answer. She's had some really, really good international sprint results the last few years. But it's also very interesting to see Grace Molloy, the former junior world champion in the relay. She's been studying in USA the last few years, and from what I've seen, she's been posting some PBs on the track over there this winter, so she should be in good form when she's coming over here to Europe again. And it will be interesting to see how her sprint technique lines up against the best in the world, because if you look at the times from the athletics track, she should be able to be competitive if she has good sprint technique.
Yeah, but as I've heard, it has been a lot of track and asphalt running and not so much sprint technique. It's out on the road and either left or right, and then so many Ks that you're supposed to run and then back towards the... But if you have fast legs, you can get far. Any other surprises, things to mention about this sprint team?
No, I don't think. And it's also when we get to the forest races, it's in European champs, they have selected 6 women and 6 men. No surprises here. Ralph Street, the big name on the men's side. Megan Cork Davis, the big name on the women's side. I think the depth of the team is probably better than it's been in the last few years, or at least at the same level on both sides. But I think Ralph and Megan is the only ones that can really be competitive near a top 10 or even a top 20, maybe. So I think in the relay, for example, I don't really see them perform really high up in the relay. But we will have to wait to see what happens in August. But yeah, not the best British teams, neither on the men's side or the women's side. But of course, especially Megan Horton Davis, she's been close to forest medals before. I think in Czech Republic World Champs, she was in the top 6 on the long distance. And I think the terrain in Hungary should suit her well. So if you can have a good transition period from the home world championship to the European championship, maybe she can get her first forest medal as well this year.
And I think it's worth mentioning that they actually selected a team for European champs that is in August, before they selected the team for the sprint World Cup round that is coming up in late May, early June. So it's quite special this season. And we also come back to later that this weekend it was selection races for European champs in Sweden. The two Swedish leagues races was also selection races for European. So quite a special season, I would think.
Definitely. As the Brits, as all the other nations, are heavily focusing on sprint in the period leading up to the World Championship, and then it's hard to find time for selection races. So, I mean, if you have the options to do it early, and it's also in Britain, the depth isn't that deep. So, I mean, if you have it in Sweden or maybe in Norway, the battle for the last few spots is really, really big, and there a lot of things can happen in 3 months. I think it's as long as everyone knows it way ahead of the selection races and they can plan their season according to this, I think it's an okay way to do it.
And then we can continue and look at the races. That's both lots of selection races and also national champs in sprint orienteering. It started with the Czech Republic, Czech national champs in knockout sprint last Wednesday. And here it's quite a strong field, actually, in the women's class. Tatjana Ushikova, she was missing. She was running the Finnish knockout sprint champs on Thursday. But are we lacking any of the other women's, Ivo?
No, it seems like, except of Teresa, the other ones were there. And it started with the knockout sprint. We saw some very interesting results on the women's side. A bit of a surprise, perhaps. Barbora Mateshkova won the final. In second place, we have a junior, Emma Serna. She was pretty good at J-Walk last year, and yeah, very interesting to see her this fast. So it looks like she's on good route to J-Walk this summer. Jana Pekorova in third place. And then also in the final, we had the junior world champion from last year, Lucy Dietrichova. She was only fifth here in the final, but I still think that's a good result from her. From what I've seen from her earlier, I think she's more of a forest specialist than a sprinter. So to be able to be in the A final with the elite runners, that's a good result for a junior.
Yeah, but I think we could say it was a quite clear victory if it's the correct times we have here, 5 seconds in knockout. That's quite clear.
Yeah, of course it depends. Maybe if it was taken on the last route choice, then it may be not as dominant as it feels. But if it's just like running away from them with 5 seconds and 7 seconds to the third place, that would be a very dominant way to do it. But I haven't seen the GPS from the race, so I don't know how it was won.
And in the men's class, we have the former knockout king. He is not anymore the king. I'm talking about Wojciech Król, who had dominated the early days of knockout sprint.
Yeah, but still, Wojciech Kral is doing good here with the second place. And of course, the gaps here are pretty big on the men's side. And he was beaten by Tomas Krivda with 8 seconds, which is quite a lot in a knockout sprint when the winning running time is only 6.5 minutes. But we know Krivda is he's an extremely good runner. He's been focusing a lot on his running speed on hard surface this year with the world champs in mind. So it's no surprise that he is dominating this kind of field home in Czech Republic. Jonas Hubacek in third place, and then the gaps were down to over 40 seconds down to the fourth place, Jan Gajda. The top three here were in a class of their own. Jakub Klonek, maybe the other big name from this final, he was disqualified. I don't know, have you seen the results where he was finishing, or maybe he was in the fight for a medal? I don't know that, but yeah.
He was doing quite well in the start. He had the initiative, but then he made a mistake and was not anymore in the fight. At the end, as you mentioned, he was disqualified.
Yeah, so the gold medal for Krivda, that's no surprise. Wojciech Kral in second place is also no really surprise. Jonas Hubacek in third place. When Jakub Glonek is disqualified, Jonas Hubacek is the third biggest name in this final. Jan Gajda in fourth place and Jiří Kostka in fifth place. They are, they don't have the results at the same level as the other ones in the final here. So no surprises. And then I think we can move to the 3000 meter.
That was held on Friday evening.
And some interesting times. I mean, we have seen the Norwegian team had a 3000 meter test a couple of weeks ago. As we will mention later, the Danish had a 3000 meter test as part of their selection. So then you can kind of look a little bit of the times and so on. And if we start with the men's, Tomas Krivda won the 3000 meter with 10 seconds. He was running 8:22. Jakub Glonek 8:33, Jonas Hubacek 8:34, and Martin Rudny also 8:34, and then there was a big gap down. If you compare it with the Norwegians, Krivda is a few seconds behind, but also when you look at the result, you can imagine that Krivda was running alone for quite a while in Norway it was a big, big group with some people sharing the work in front. And they had a full sprint on the last loop. I mean, when Krivda is running alone, maybe it's not going all in to get the best possible time. So it's hard to compare directly, but I mean, still track times like this, it's a good indication.
There was also same winner in the women's class in the 3000 as in the knockout sprint. Same way as for the men's.
Yeah, we have the same three girls in the top three. Barbara Matejkova is winning with a time of 10:02. Which is a good time. Do you remember the winning time of the Norwegian girls? Was it just below 10 or?
Yeah, it was just below 10. So, a little bit better. But
And here we have also the same the same problem as on the men's side. I think here it was more spread out. Barbara Matejkova was probably running a little bit more alone in the front, maybe not pushing everything in the end, while the Norwegian girls, they were running a bigger group together. Jana Pekrova in second place is 8 seconds down, so 10:10. And then the junior Emma Serna with a time of 10:20. That's fast for a junior.
And then they continued the competition weekend with the Czech Cup and individual sprint on Saturday.
Yeah, and Barbara Matejkova, she continued to win. This time the gap was only 1 second down ahead of Denisha Kosova. From what I've seen, Kosova was a bit further down the result list previously in the week. But yeah, when it was an individual sprint, she was back at a top level. But 1 second too slow to win. Jana Petrova 18 seconds down, and then behind her the gaps is getting pretty big. It's a long sprint, winning time of almost 15 minutes. So you kind of expect there to be some serious gaps. And here it was six girls within 45 seconds. So not too big gaps actually.
And you mentioned Wojciech Kral performing good in the knockout. He was best in the individual sprint here on Saturday.
Yeah, if it was pretty close for the victory in the women's side with only 1 second. It was the same with the men. Wojciech Kral edging out Tomas Krivda with 1 second to win. Jakob Glonek in third place is 3 seconds down. Daniel Vandas in fourth place is 10 seconds down. So this was really, really close on the men's side. Martin Rudny in fifth place, and then Milos Nikodym in sixth place. But then the gaps is getting bigger behind the top four. But yeah, still really cool to see Wojciech Kral winning. He's getting older. He's like 36 or something. I think he's born 88. Can that be correct?
Yeah, that sounds correct for my side.
And yeah, Wojciech has had some rough seasons lately. Before the COVID break, he was the best knockout sprinter in the world, and he was also a serious podium contender in every individual sprint race. The last few years, he's been having a drop in performance, which is not a big surprise, you know, when you get older and so on. But yeah, this year he seems to be at a better level this year than he has been the last 2 years. And when he's winning a selection race like this, and he was second in the knockout sprint, I mean, it looks good for him. Of course, he should get a spot in the team for World Cup. That should be no discussion. But it also looks good for him to claim a spot for the World Championship.
If it had been World Champs in Denmark in 2020, as was the plan, he would have been the really big favorite in knockout sprint, but it didn't turn out that way. And no, he will probably get selected at least to the first World Cup round.
Yeah. But yeah, we also had some slight disappointments to point out in this race. Jakub Chałupski, the junior world champion from last year, which had a really, really good sprint race at the World Cup in Czech Republic last year, he's all the way down in 11th place. And I didn't see him high up in the result list on the knockout sprint, and in the 3,000 meter he was running 9:06 or 9:07 or something, so quite far behind the top level. So it will be interesting to see if they still select him for the World Cup with these results. I mean, he's a massive talent, and he showed already in Czech Republic last year at the World Cup that he can be competitive at the elite level. But he doesn't make it easy for himself with results like this. And also Jonas Hubacek, that was third in the knockout sprint, he was all the way down in 12th place here. So also making it a bit more difficult for himself. But yeah, we will see how the Czech team ends up with the selection.
From Czech Republic till Denmark and Danish selections, they didn't have a prologue in the knockout sprint selection. They had 3,000 meters, and then they had the heats after that. In the 3,000 here, we can easily compare with the Czech races that was on Wednesday. Here it was on Thursday.
Yeah, and the Danish girls were a little bit faster. So among the Czech, Barbara Matejkova, she was running 10:02. And there are four Danish girls that are running faster. Hedvig Gydesen is running the best time with 9:52. Ida Agevi Christiansson, 9:54. Ah, yeah, and then, of course, we had the Polish guest in the Danish race. So it was only three Danish girls running faster. Alexandra Hornik from Poland, she was running 9:59, so just below the magic 10 minutes. And then Josefine Lind, she was on the 10-minute mark. So yeah, 9:52 from Hedvig Gydesen, that's a good time. But also here we see there's four girls within 8 seconds, so they were likely pushing each other a bit there, and that's always an advantage to go faster. And then there was semifinals based on the 3,000 meter, but I mean, I think it was 9 or 10 girls in total that were running these Danish knockout selection races. So the semifinals were pretty easy for the best ones. And then, of course, in the final, we got a proper battle there where Alexandra Hornik was the fastest, beating Josefine Lind with 3 seconds, Ida Agevi Christiansson 6 seconds behind, and then Hedvig Gydesen, the third Dane, in fourth place, 7 seconds, and then there was a gap down to the last girls in the final, Malin Agevi Christiansson and Nicoline Klüssner. Interesting start of the season, and I think the Danish selection race, it shows a problem with these kind of knockout test races on national level, when you're not from one of the absolute top countries where you have a lot of depth. The gaps between number 6, 7 down to 8, 9 is pretty big, so I feel that yeah, the semifinal you get is, it's kind of a procession. Quite for the best runners, it's pretty easy to go through to the final. And when they get to the the quarterfinals at the World Cup, it will be something different. But yeah, it's the most similar simulation you can get. So it's still better than the options, I guess.
But the message from the national team coach was that they had to take it all out in the 3,000 meters, even if it was not so many at the starting line, at least. And even though they didn't manage to beat the time of the best Norwegians, as we could see.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly. What was the winning time of the Norwegian selection race? Here it was 9:52. Was it 9?
I jumped to the men's.
Men's. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But there we are at the question mark. Yeah, they were told to put everything on the line. But yeah, Andreas Bock-Bjørnsen, who ran the best time in the 3,000 meter here, he was running about 25 seconds slower than he did indoor in the winter. I mean, he was sick and missed Tiomila, so maybe his form had some... maybe it's been a bit affected by that, because 8:25, it's a really good time, but for Andreas Bock-Bjørnsen, that's not something he would write about home. So yeah, easy win for him, 8:25, beating Elias Hinge Krokskår with 14 seconds, 8:39. Good 3,000 meter by the young Elias Krokskår. He's obviously been recovered well from the long night where he ran with a very fast train there. Was able to run fast also here. Yeah, Emil Øbro in third place. We had six guys with below 8:52. So yeah, pretty solid. I think 8:52 is the same time as Eirik Langdal Breivik was running in the Norwegian selection races. As we will come to later, 8:52 is more than good enough as a 3K time if you want to be a good sprinter.
And then they also had the same heats, and the final showed that it was, even with the map, Andreas Bock-Bjørnsen was the fastest guy this day in Denmark.
Yeah, and a really fun detail I just noticed is that Andreas Bock-Bjørnsen, he ran the final in the exact same time as he did the 3,000 meter. So 8:25 on 3,000 meter and 8:25 also in the final. He was in a class of his own, beating Jakob Edsen with 15 seconds. The young Oscar David Brumann Jensen in third place was 26 seconds down. Jakob Steintal, maybe the one you would kind of expect to challenge Bock-Bjørnsen the most. He was all the way down in sixth place, more than a minute behind. So with these kind of gaps, there has to be done quite a lot of mistakes.
And in Denmark, they continued with the Danish champs in sprint individually on Saturday, and a sprint relay on Sunday. But first things first, and individual sprint.
Yeah, Hedvig Giddesen, she was winning with big margin, beating Alexandra Hornik with almost a minute, 47 seconds. Malin Agvi Kristiansson in third place was 1:06 behind. The third Danish girl, Josefine Lind, was almost 1.5 minutes down. So here the gaps are really big. And I think that's not a surprise. What we've seen from Hedvig Giddesen in the last 2-3 years, yeah, since 22, so the last three seasons, she's had a lot of very solid sprint performances. And she's like one of these girls that you kind of expect to step up. Maybe it happens this year, maybe it happens in 2 years, but you kind of expect her to step up and be regularly in the top 10 in the international sprints and maybe even get close to a podium.
Yeah, with such a big margin here, it's a great performance at least.
Definitely, and it's something that's something you want 2 weeks before the World Cup. You want some really good results, really good performances to build confidence on, and so you know that when you are on the start line at the World Cup, that if you do the normal good level performance, then it's going to be a really good result.
And in the men's class, it was the guy you announced you were missing in the knockout sprint. He was stepping up here.
Yeah, Jakob Steintal got his revenge here. winning the sprint 9 seconds ahead of Andreas Bokk-Bjørnsen. It seems to be a pretty exciting race because Bokk-Bjørnsen was making big mistakes early on. After 4 minutes of running, he was almost half a minute down. And then he's getting closer and closer, but not close enough. And it's still 9 seconds in favor of Jakob Steinthal. Jakob Eckhart Edson with his second podium in two sprint races with the third place here, 15 seconds down. Linus Agervik Kristiansson, he couldn't match his sisters. Both of them have been taking podium spots in the previous selection races, and he got only a fourth place. But still, a fourth place he was sharing with Emil Öbru, but still that's... Fourth place is good enough when you're thinking it about it in a selection point of view.
And this sprint weekend, they finished off with a sprint relay on Sunday. And here it was many disqualifications that made it a really big margin victory for Uko Snob.
Yeah, so Uko Snob, that's the team of the Agervik Kristiansson siblings. So, of course, with three of them, they were obviously among the big, big favorites. And in the end, they win with more than 5 minutes, which is an insane gap in a sprint relay. And the third place is 7 minutes down. But then you have to take in consideration that the second place is the second team from Panorus, and the third place is the second team from Tisvilde Hein. Four of the other favorite teams, except of Uko Snob, they were disqualified. So, yeah, Tisvilde Hein, Panorus, Allerød, Fif Hillerød, four of the five biggest favorites before the race, they were disqualified. Some of them was that they forgot to punch a control after the arena passage. So, kind of sad that these kind of things, office work is ruining the race because, we know that the depth in Denmark is not that big, and in a relay like this, you kind of expect big differences, but you still want to see a good fight between the best teams. And then, unfortunately, with all these disqualifications, it was a very, very easy and very clear win for Uko Snob.
Yeah, it was kind of the same in the Swedish champion sprint relay. Almost two years ago, it was just after the world champs in Denmark. They had this national champs sprint relay, and there it was also several teams running the last route to different wrong direction or forgot to punch the passing control. So there also it was totally chaos, but. I don't think it was chaos selecting the Danish team for World Cup. It was announced just after the selection races.
Yes, they have selected 7 girls and 8 men. I think there are some missing people that we have been used to see in the Danish national team chart the last few years that is not running these kind of World Cup rounds. We are on the women's side, for example, we are missing Miri Tran Ødum. She's not focusing on sprint this year, so she will be back for the European champs in the summer. We are missing Cecilie Fribeck-Swissner. I don't know what's going on there. I haven't seen any results from her this season. Maybe there are some injury issues or something. Not sure about that. And then we're also missing... what's her name again? Agnes Nørgaard Kracht. She's also, like Miri, focusing on the forest orienteering. So, yeah, three of the best Danish girls, they are missing from various reasons. On the men's side, the biggest name, Søren Tran Ødum, is also missing. He's out with Borrelia, I think. So it might take some time until he's back. Hopefully we'll see him in the autumn season. But with these kind of things, you never know, and it can be... maybe we might have to wait until next year before we can see Søren Tran Ødum in full fire again, back at the top level. So of course that's a big loss for Denmark, and really sad for Søren himself. But still a pretty good Danish team with some interesting names. It will be interesting to see what the medalist from J-Walk last year, Oscar David Broman Jensen, what he can do on top level. But the best Danish guys are of course Andreas Bokk-Bjørnsen, maybe Jakob Steinthal. It will be interesting to see what they can do in Switzerland and Italy, especially my new club mate Andreas Bokk-Bjørnsen. I have very high hopes for him this year. at the World Championship. So looking forward to follow him in the next few months.
It was already interesting in Finland this weekend with a knockout sprint on Thursday. A really tight sprint there in the final. But we have to mention that they had a full knockout day with a prologue, a quarterfinal, and a semifinal, and then a final. And it was a massive sprint there in the women's class.
Yeah, I mean the Finnish sprint, that was really, really impressive with the amount of runners they had. And I mean, when you have such a depth, then it's no problem to do a full knockout day. I mean, so I think they had, like, in the men's class, they had like 3 heats of 40 guys running the qualifier. So then, of course, when you get to the quarterfinal, of course, for the absolute best ones, it's much, much easier than a World Cup quarterfinal, but still, the depth is big enough for it to be competitive, and you can't really just cruise into the quarterfinal. You have to burn some matches there. Full day with knockout sprint. Quite a lot of top names on the start list. Also some interesting foreigner runners, as we will mention when we get to the women's class, where we got the victory went to Teresa Janosikova. She was beating Venla Harju in the sprint, so officially they had like the same time. But yeah, it seems like Venla Harju lost her second photo finish in a week.
Actually, it wasn't a photo finish. It was separating 1.5 to 2 meters.
That maybe easier to accept losing. Even if you get in the result list, you get the same time. Then you know that the other one was faster. But the way she lost the photo finish to Anthony and Tiomila, that was maybe a bit more annoying, because she was going to win that, but then she messed it up in the last few meters. So Janosikova first, Venla Harju second, Evely Kasiku, Estonian runner, third place. Then we have the rest of the Finnish girls in the final. Maiju Uksanen in fourth place, Inka Nurminen in fifth place, and Karolina Uksikoski in sixth place. The top four were within 8 seconds. Nurmin was 12 seconds down, so the gaps were pretty big in the end, except behind the medalists.
Worth mentioning is that both Kasku and Noshikova is getting medals also, because they're living in Finland. So, yeah, they got value for their sweat and tears the whole knockout day here.
Yeah, I think Kostiku has been living in Finland for many years. For Janosikova, she's much younger, so she's not been there that many years, but I guess maybe it's 2-3 years or something like that now. Then they are both eligible for medals. In the men's side, we got a full Finnish podium, but there were also a foreign runner in the final, Maxime Roturier, the Frenchman running for Kalmar Rasti. But he was too weak against the Finnish in the final, and he got the last spot. And also here we got a really close battle for the medals. Tomas Heikkilä winning with 1 second ahead of Mika Kirmola. Teemu Uksanen in third place is 3 seconds down. Then we have the two MS Parma runners, Eero Heinonen and Akseli Ruuhola, in fourth and fifth place, but they were almost 10 seconds down. So it was the top three were sprinting for the top three positions, and then the last three were sprinting for fourth place, more or less. So yeah, good win for Tomas Heikkilä. I've heard a lot of impressive things from him this spring. Apparently when the Finnish team were in Scotland, yeah, just before Tiomila, he was running some really, really impressive races there in the training. So yeah, after his European champs medal last year, it's no surprise, of course, but yeah, he seems to be one of those guys we should definitely count for in the fight, not only for top position, but maybe even for the victory when we come to the World Cup in 2 weeks.
But he didn't win on Saturday, which we will come back to, but on Saturday it was the individual sprint in Finland, and here it was not Janosikova and Harju in the podium.
So we have a more or less new podium. We have a full new podium here with a clear victory for Maja Sianova. 17 seconds faster than Sandra Grossberga. And Sandra Grossberga is not living in Finland and she's not running for Finnish club, so she's not eligible for the medal, meaning that the third place, Maija Oksanen, she got the silver medal. But half a minute behind Sihanouva. Inari Karppinen in fourth place, she takes the last medal, 32 seconds down, beating Venla Harju with 4 seconds for the bronze medal. Janoshikova down in eighth place. We see Marika Teini in seventh place. So yeah, some of the big names were a little bit further down though here.
Yeah, and I would say the bronze medalist was quite a surprise also. But yeah, she's half a minute down on a sprint. Then it can happen that we should not say that anyone, but quite disappointing of Harju and Teini maybe to be half a minute and more behind the winner here.
Yeah, I'm not that surprised about Marika Teini. I mean, she's not a sprint specialist. I mean, she's a good sprinter, but compared to how her level is in the forest, she's always been a bit worse in the sprint, so that's no surprise. And when it comes to Venla Harju, after like 10 minutes of the race, she was 15 seconds ahead of the winner. But then she made a 40-second mistake, dropping down from what looked to be another Finnish championship gold medal and all the way down to fifth place. So yeah, I think her sprint form is good. But yeah, that one mistake cost her a lot of time.
In the men's class, we see again a really tight race aiming for the gold medal.
Yeah, and we have the same three guys in the top three. Mika Kirmula is winning, beating Teemu Oksanen with 3 seconds. And then we have Thomas Heikkilä down in third place, 12 seconds down. But here we have kind of a similar situation as with Venla Harju. He made some pretty big mistakes. Thomas Heikkilä, after 6 minutes of running, he was 20 seconds ahead of Kirmula, for example, and then he lost half a minute on one control. And you can't afford these kind of mistakes in a close sprint race.
Yeah, but also Kirmula, he had a fatal route choice mistake, losing 25 seconds to control number 9. But even though he managed to bring home the gold medal.
Yeah, and I think if you look at the results the Finnish have had in sprint races the last few years, I mean, except of Thomas Heikkilä's bronze medal, they don't have a lot of top results in sprint races. And when we see them doing this kind of mistakes, I think it's fair to say that this performance would not reach top 6 in the World Cup with these kind of mistakes. So they have to avoid them when we get to Olten in Switzerland in 2 weeks' time.
Up with the concentration, keep the concentration the whole way. But we got the selection for, as you mentioned, the World Cup. Is there any surprises there?
No, not really any surprises. 8 men, 8 women is selected. I mean, you have all the big names from Venla Harju, Marika Teini, and some of the girls that were running really well here, like Maija Sihanouva and Maija Oksanen. On the men's side, it's worth to notice that Olli Ojanau is missing, and that's because he got injured during the... I'm not sure if it was the quarterfinal or the semifinal in the knockout sprint, but I think he collided with another runner, had a really, really swollen knee, and it will take some time before he's back in normal training, and he's therefore missing this World Cup round. It's still a strong team with Heikkilä, Kirmula and Teemu Oksanen. As they were the top three in both selection races, they are the big names to look out for. But there's also some interesting younger names. Sampo Sankelo, first year in elite class, he was 15 J-Walk last year. He's managed to get into the team. Tuukko Seppä, second year in elite class. He's a J-Walk medal in sprint before. Very interesting to see what he can do. And of course, Akseli Ruula was performing really well here with a fourth place and a fifth place. So yeah, the Finnish team is good. I mean, they have 2-3 guys that we can expect to be fighting for a top 10 on good days. And then they have some younger guys that will be interesting to see what they can do on the biggest level, even if it's probably too soon for top results, but it will be nice to see some potential.
From Finland and sprint weekend there, we moved to north in Norway, where it was Norwegian champs in sprint orienteering and also selection races there. And started with a knockout sprint on Thursday. Here it was the prologue and then directly to semi-final and then the final. Special here was that the biggest prize in Norwegian orienteering, this King's Cup, was for the first time to the winner of the knockout sprint national champs. This is a prize that is alternating in between the distances, and this time it was for the first time ever on a knockout sprint.
Yeah, as a traditionalist, I think the King's Cup should be given to the winner of the long distance every year. I could maximum accept that, yeah, okay, the middle distance is also fine every second year, but yeah, to give them for sprint races, yeah, that hurts my conservative orienteering soul. But yeah, luckily the two winners of the King's Cup is also the best Norwegian orienteers in every discipline, so in the end I mean the people that got it really deserves it, but yeah, I think it, yeah, I'm not a fan of the way it's been given to Nokko Sprint, for example, but yeah, that's a whole different conversation. As a Norwegian championship, as a selection race, it's an important race for a lot of people, because there is both on the women's side and men's side, it's quite a heavy fight for the last few spots in the team, behind the obvious ones. The concept: prologue, individual orienteering, then semi-final and final. So only 3 rounds, but still a good day of sprint orienteering. Andrine Benjaminsen won the qualifier, and she won the semi-final, and she also won the final, edging out Ingeborg Rigg Ekeland with 1 second. A great result for Rigg Ekeland, which won a lot of knockout sprints as a junior. Second place here in the elite class. Victoria Hester Bjørnstein, third place. She's also a very, very good knockout sprinter. Anne Dyrkorn in fifth place was 5 seconds down, so really, really close for the medals. And then the gaps were a bit further down to Emma Arnesen and Lindberg Hansen. Which both of them were good in qualifier, but they got to the semifinal as in second place, and then in the final they didn't have anything to show for in the last part when the medals were given.
And then in the men's class, it was Kasper Fossa who got this King's Cup in knockout sprint here.
Yeah, and it seemed to be a quite exciting final, because in a heat like this, you kind of fear that, okay, we have Kasper Fossa, he's the best sprinter in the world. Yeah, the other might think, okay, we see what he do and we follow his route choices. But yeah, it was a lot of own initiatives, and there was quite a few times where Kasper took his own route choice and no one were really following him, which was a bit of a surprise to me. So it was a proper race, and then in the end, it seemed to be a fight between Kasper Fosser and Erik Langdal Breivik. But then I think, was it on the way to the last control or by the last control that Langdal Breivik slipped and fell?
Yeah, it was by the last control. And Erik, he's quoted that it's only Kasper that means that I wouldn't have got the King's Cup if I haven't slided down and fallen there.
Yeah, so unfortunately we didn't see them sprinted out for the King's Cup, and Kasper Fosse could cruise into gold medal. Jørgen Bakley, he took the silver. He passed Langedal Breivik when he was on his ass. And then the bronze medal for Langedal Breivik. So yeah, and the gaps were pretty big. So those three were within 3 seconds of each other. So Bakley 3 seconds behind Fosse, Breivik 3 seconds behind Bakley. And then the gaps down to Mats Eidsmo and Elias Jonsson fighting out for fourth place. Were 5-6 seconds down on the bronze medal. And then Markus Kjernesem, the surprise of the day. Sixth place in the final. He lost the chance to... to win a medal with a bad route choice in the end and finished sixth.
Worth mentioning is that the Kasper-Fosa, he has only got two individual Norwegian champs gold medals, and he has also got two of those King's Cup. So both times he has also got the King's Cup.
Yeah, but you know, Kasper, he's a guy that got his priorities straight. I mean, it doesn't matter what he's doing a few days or a few weeks before the big race. When the big race comes and the big prize is there, he's always at his best.
But it was this Annam, Norwegian champs, I mean, in Bodø 8 years ago. And then it was this King's Cup was in the middle distance. Can you remember who got it that time?
I think it was really close. Was it 1 second that was between Carl Godagekås and Olav Lundanes for the King's Cup there, with Carl edging it out?
Yeah, it was actually only 1 second, but that's correct. And Carl Godagekås, he got it on the men's side. And who was the winner in the women class there, in the middle distance?
Ooh, 2016. Yeah, could it be? It was probably Hausken, as always.
It's a good guess, but it was Marianne Andersen.
Yeah, it had to be one of those two.
But from knuckle sprint on Thursday, it was individual sprint, national champs and selection on Saturday. And here it was straight to the final race.
Yep, and this was a very important race, of course, not only for the medals in the Norwegian Championship, but also for the selection. Pia Jongvik was able to beat Andrine Benjaminsen here, beating the winner of the knockout sprint with 2 seconds, so a really close battle there. Lene Berg Hansen, the winner of last year, she took the bronze medal, 16 seconds down. Then we have a shared fourth place with Ingeborg Rygg Eikeland and Victoria Hestad Bjørnstad. So, I mean, a lot of the same names as we saw in the knockout sprint. Jendine Gjelstad Reborn in sixth place, and then we had a shared seventh place between Marie Olausen and Tilda Johansson. And I think this is interesting. Tilda Johansson, seventh place here, best non-Norwegian, of course. But yeah, she's selected for the Swedish team, and she gets beaten here by six Norwegian girls. So I take that as a positive sign for the Norwegian girls when it comes to their chances in the upcoming World Cup round.
Yeah, but if we have some facts behind this, it was Tilda Johansson's first tough session in 9 days because of illness and also trouble with her toe. She was supposed, if she had been healthy, she would also have been running on Thursday. So she was not healthy before this Saturday. So
yeah, maybe, but you know. You know, I have received some criticism that I've been too negative about the Norwegian girls in the podcast previously. So now, you know, I'm trying to be positive here.
Yeah, but I'm only bringing some facts to the table.
Yeah, that's
good. And also worth mentioning is that Pia Jungvik, she was a bit sick. She didn't take the risk of participating on Thursday. That was why she was not mentioned there. In that competition.
No, and I mean, when it comes to Pia Jongvik, I mean, her season has been fantastic so far, from winning the Swedish League long distance to win the Norwegian champs the sprint distance. Really, really good year for her so far. Only first year in elite class. The most promising Norwegian girl, definitely. I mean, of course, Andrine Benjaminsen is the big name, but she's much more experienced, much older, and already at the world-class level. I mean, Pia Jongvik is on the way there.
We should not decide if it was world-class level, but it was at least even tighter in the men's class here on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. Really, really close battle for the victory, and really close battle for the bronze medal. In the end, Eirik Langdal Breivik got revenge for the knockout sprint where he fell and lost the chance to win. Here he took the victory 1 second ahead of Cornelius Bjørk. And then we had an insane battle for third place where Elias Jonsson takes the bronze medal 19 seconds down. Then we have three guys sharing the fourth place, 2 seconds behind the bronze medal. Mikkel Holt, Kasper Fosser, and Tobias Alstad. We have a shared seventh place, 5 seconds behind the bronze medal, with Håvard Eidsmo and Henry McNulty. And then we also have the ninth place, only 6 seconds behind the bronze medal. So extremely close. But yeah, Langdal Breivik, he edged out the second he needed for the victory. And Elias Jonsson had the seconds on his side for the bronze medal.
Langdal Breivik, he was not running the individual sprint last year in the Norwegian champs, but he won 2 years ago, so he can decide those national champs sprint.
Yeah, definitely.
And he also decided the sprint relay on Sunday. That was quite impressive, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, the sprint relay, it's been, I think Anthony has been winning the last 3 years in a row. And they won also this year.
And also worth mentioning is that Josefine Lind, she was running the individual Danish champs on Saturday. Then she took the airplane to Trondheim, but there was not going any plane to Bodø to reach this sprint relay. So she was taking the night train from Trondheim to Bodø to get there and to be able to run for Kasper Fosser and Ulrik Astrup Arnesen's team, Heming, in the sprint relay.
Yeah, so I think we will come a bit more close to Justine Lin later. But yeah, let's just say that Anthony, they took the lead on the first leg and was running in the lead all the way. Anne Dyrkorn, Mats Eidsmo, Ingeborg Rygg Eikland, Erik Langdal Breivik. I mean, that's a, by Norwegian standards, that's an extremely good team, solid from the start to the end. So no surprises they are winning. But they got a close fight from Heming. I think Heming had, on paper, a really, really strong men's duo. And of course, as you mentioned, Josefine Lind, the Danish girl, is very, very good. But the question mark in the team, Maya Jones Arnesen, she ran a really well first leg, losing only 40 seconds, limiting the time losses really well there to really, really good national team runners that was running in front. And when Heming was only 39 seconds down after the first leg, they were definitely in the fight. Ulrik Arnesen, he ran solid, but he was losing a bit time to Anthony. Then Josefine Lind ran a fantastic third leg for Heming, catching up 50 seconds and sent out Kasper Fosser only 7 seconds behind Langdal Breivik. And normally, you know, when Kasper Fosser is this close to Langdal Breivik, you kind of would give him a good chance. But yeah, Langdal Breivik showed that it wasn't just coincidence that he won the individual sprint and not Kasper Fosser. So yeah, Langdal Breivik was faster than Fosser on the last leg, increased the lead. And in the end, it was 20 seconds between them. Yeah, further bit down in the field, Bekkelager ran into third place. Mattia Glørsen, Cornelius Bjørk, Tilda Johansson, and Henry McNulty, also a very, very good team. Yeah, the first leg is Norwegian Jaywalk runner, Cornelius Bjørk, silver medalist at the sprint. Tilda Johansson is in the Swedish World Cup team, and also Henry McNulty is a really, really good sprinter. So solid team from start to finish. They finished 1 minute down. Not really a fight for the bronze medal because Anthony's second team in fourth place were down 140, and then Freddy in fifth place was almost 2 minutes down. So of course the gaps are getting big, but yeah, when you have the four guys in the Norwegian in the Anthony first team, they are also going to the World Cup for Norway. So yeah, they have the best team on paper, and they were delivering.
Yeah, and Anthony, they used to win this relay in Norway. Yeah. Because yeah. They have so many good runners in the senior age, and also the selection for the Norwegian World Cup team is officially, and it is 8 women and 9 men. As far as Kasper Fosser has his own individual spot in the individual sprints.
Yep. So if you start on the women's side, I think there is no real surprises here. When you're looking at the results from the weekend, it kind of makes sense. The names, Andrine Benjaminsen is there, Pia Jungvik is there, Ingeborg Rygg Eikland is there, Hesta Bjørnstad is there, Anne Dyrkorn is there, Lene Berg Hansen is there. Maybe the small surprise is Jendine Jelstad Rebort, but that's a surprise before the selection races and not after, because she was she was number six in the sprint champs, and she was also number six in the sprint in Halden, which was also a selection races. So she's been running really well. And then Marie Olafsen is also there. She's maybe the one that has the worst results from the sprint champs and from the sprint selection races, but she's also it's more than good enough. She's better results than the reserves, and also she has the benefit of being a candidate for at least a top 10 in the overall World Cup. I'm not sure if they have been thinking about that in the selection, but that's something I would think of perhaps. On the men's side, you have all the names that were running well in the weekend. Kasper Fosser, of course, Eirik Langdal Breivik, Håvard Eidsmo, both Jonsson brothers, Mats Eidsmo, Cornelius Bjørk, Jørgen Bakley, and Tobias Alstad. So I think it's a young Norwegian team, but it's a very good team.
Yeah, three first years senior in the women's team there. So quite young team there.
Yeah, I think if you remove Andrine Benjaminsen, then I think the oldest in the whole team is Håvard Eidsmo and Langedal Breivik. Both of them are 26 this year, so very young Norwegian team.
And from a young Norwegian team, we are moving abroad to Sweden, where they had Swedish League. And we haven't mentioned it earlier, but it's quite tough for the runners coming from Tiomila and directly to running important competitions on the Thursday after. It's not so long time to rest there and recover. And in Sweden, it was really tough forest races this weekend, with starting with a middle distance on Thursday.
Yep, on the women's side, it was quite a limited start field. Basically, all the runners that are running their World Cup, they were not there. Of course, the big names missing, Tove Alexandersson, Caroline Olsson, so on. A bit of a surprise, Johanna Riedefeld was not running. I'm not sure why she was missing. So no surprise. Hanna Lundberg, with a good race on middle distance, completely crushed the rest of the field. Helena Karlsson in second place, 3.5 minutes down. Alva Sonesson in third place, 3:47 down. Annika Simonsen and Agnes Nørgaard Krogh, the two Danish girls, they are 4.5 and 5 minutes down. So really, really big margins. But that's kind of expected from Hanna Lundberg in such a tough terrain, when she's doing a good race against not the best competition.
And she had a stable technical race. But as you mentioned to Even National Orienteering Podcast, it's not the terrain that you feel fast in. So it's quite tough terrain, and she didn't feel that she had any good speed. But even though she was impressively good here, and if it was a big margin. On the women's side, it was really tight on the men's side.
Yeah, it was brilliant. I wasn't able to follow the race live, so I just watched the recap on the GPS, with a synchronized mass start. And it was so exciting to follow, because I didn't know the result. And when I looked at the GPS, Emil Svensson and Gustav Bergman, they were following each other like shadows. In the end, Emil Svensson was a little bit stronger physically. And he took the victory with 8 seconds. Those two were in a class of their own. Max Petter Beim in third place was almost 2 minutes down. Simon Imark in fourth place, 2.5 minutes down. Axel Elmblad, the young guy, 2:36 behind. And then there a couple of other strong names, more than 3 minutes down. We have Axel Granqvist in sixth place. We have the Norwegian champion, Oscar Edvardsson, in seventh. And Albin Riedfeldt in eighth place. But Albin is almost 4 minutes down. So Svensken Bergman, really, really good races. We also saw some complete disaster runs. Victor Svensk, 36. Simon Hector, 37. Henrik Johannesson, 38. A guy like Gustav Runefors, number 54. So some of the guys there were struggling. Some of the guys that were running really well at the Tiomila. So we have Victor Svensk and Henrik Johannesson in the winning team, Sura Tuna. Simon Hector had a fantastic long night. It seems like they had not recovered physically or mentally, making some big mistakes and maybe not even having the full speed either. So yeah, very interesting to see. And yeah, these races are selection races for AOC, but I mean, Sweden have a lot of selection races for AOC. It was already in the end of March, these two Swedish league races in Skåne, that's where selection races, these two races here, and also the two first races at Uhringen. So even if a guy like Simon Hector had a really bad race here, it doesn't mean that his chances to run European champs are gone. But yeah, I mean, you make it harder for yourself when you perform like this in some of the important races.
But again, as I mentioned, it's not a long time since he was running 90 minutes fast in the night on a long night there. So yeah, it's really tough to get into it, both physically and mentally, as you mentioned. But Emil Svensk, who managed that, he said the same as Hanna Lundberg, that it was a really tough terrain. But even though he had a stable technical race and a quite good flow in the running.
Mm. Yeah, and then the following day, it was a really tough long distance and a really long distance. Unfortunately, Hanna Lundberg was not running here. So we didn't get to see her on a full long distance in a brutal terrain. The one who did at best was Helena Karlsson, beating Alva Sundesson with more than 6 minutes. The gap down to Alva Olsson in third place were almost 10 minutes, so huge gaps. And I mean, yeah, it's very interesting with Helena Karlsson. Second place behind Lundberg, victory here. She also ran pretty well in Skåne, so I mean, she has to be selected for European Championship. And that will be interesting. Do you know when she last time ran a World Cup race?
No, I don't remember which year that was. But
I know that she ran the European Champs in 2014. And I think when she ran the World Cup in 2015, that was the last time. So if she gets to run in European Champs in Hungary or in the World Cup in Finland this year, I mean, that's 9 years since the last time she was doing World Cup. I mean, it's not a lot of people that have such a big gap between two World Cup races.
No, she has been running good this spring and also got the confidence to run the last leg in Nidal's team at Tio Mila. So she said to Eva National after this race that it was generally good and stable race, but she had some small mistakes and actually a little bigger mistake in the end at the second last control. Maybe she thought the race was over, but she felt strong and had a good feeling in the body, better than on the middle distance on Thursday, actually.
Yep. And then on the women's side, we had a huge victory for Helena Karlsson. On the men's side, it was much, much closer, and we had seven guys within 4 minutes. But yeah, the victory felt pretty clear in the end, even if it was kind of close. Viktor Svensk beating Max-Peter Behm with half a minute. Simon Imark takes third place. Axel Elmblad in fourth place. And then the two guys fighting out on the middle distance, they were struggling a bit more here. Emil Svensk in fifth place, Gustav Bergman in sixth place. Emil had quite a messy race with quite a lot of mistakes. Gustav Bergman, it seemed like he didn't have the speed in the last half of the race and was gradually losing time. And then Oskar Hagström in seventh place doing a good race. Jonas Gustafsson in eighth place, very good race from him. And then we have two more of the Stora Tuna Tio Mila winning guys. Jukki Svensk in ninth place and Henrik Johansson in 10th place. So, I mean, yeah, Stora Tuna shows here. They have four guys in the top 10 of a tough, tough long distance. I mean, it's no coincidence that they are a good team for Tio Mila.
I think Gustav Bergman, as you mentioned, was fading, but I think he was really tired after a lot of competitions lately. But the guy who won this race, Viktor Svensk, he had some troubles getting into it in the beginning. And then it was no good flow. But then he got a better speed and better orienteering in the end. And as he mentioned, and you mentioned he had a disaster the day before, and he also mentioned that to us, at least it was really much better than in the middle distance.
Yep.
They the competition weekend in Sweden was finally with a relay in this relay league in Sweden on Sunday. And here it was some new names on the top, not the same as in Tiumila.
Yeah, as we mentioned in the individual races, the women's class were pretty thin, and that's also we see the effects of that in the relay. Still a very interesting result list. IFK Göteborg, they have been very good in the relay league so far, and they were running good as well here. But another second place because they got beaten by UK Kåre. UK Kåre with a very interesting team, in the way that the runners are. First leg, Beata Falk was running really well. She had her peak almost like 15 years ago. Then they have a junior on the second leg, Elsa Kaipe. And after two legs, they were number 8, 3.5 minutes down. And then Lisa Risby on the last leg was running a fantastic race. So even if she's retired from the national team, she's still at a super high level, running the best time of the day, catching up from 8th place and passed IFK Göteborg in the end, and won the relay for Kåre with 9 seconds ahead of IFK Göteborg. So in the Göteborg team, we have Erika and Johanna Kjellvik Löfven, and then Elin Månsson on the last leg. So, that's two of the girls from the first team at Tiumila. So they were not there with full strength, but still a good team. Third place, IFK Lidingö, they were running really solid. Adela Finsvelova lost a little bit of time on the first leg, but then Synnøve Palmqvist ran really well on the second leg, and then Kalinina was a little bit too small against Månsson and Risby on the last leg, but still a good third place for Lidingö, less than a minute behind, and then there was a big gap down to the teams in 4th, 5th, 6th and 7th position. Some interesting teams here. IK Hope in 4th place, that's maybe no surprise. They have been doing well in the relays this year. Göteborg Majorna in 5th place, also been running well this year. But in 6th place and 7th place, we have some really big surprises in my eyes. Nyköping in 6th place, with a team you don't really expect to be fighting this high up in a relay league. But they had a fantastic last leg by the junior Kajsa Alenius, taking them from 13th to 6th. And then also Tumba Mälarhöjden in 7th place is also a team you don't see that high up in the result list normally.
No, it's possible to get when you have 3 legs and quite short legs. And also, again, quite interesting to notice that Synnøve Palmqvist, she's running well, and about getting into the World Cup team. I'm quite interested to see what she will be able to do when we're coming to the European Champs Test races in Norway.
Definitely want to look out for there. Also, from the women's relay, I think there's we need to give credit to Sundsvall. They were leading after both the first leg with Frida Wikström and after the second leg with Hanna Hugonsson. But in the end, they dropped down to 17th. But really cool to see these kind of teams you're not used to see in front of the bigger relays doing well from the start. And then among one of the favorite teams that was a bit disappointing was Västervik. They were in 3rd place after 2 legs. But Agnes Nøgerkracht had a pretty bad last leg, making a huge mistake to one control, and they dropped down to 10th place. So maybe they were the disappointment of the relay here.
And in the men's relay, it was, of course, quite tight when you have such short legs. But it was a guy who was recovered after his leg on Tiumila, who won the first leg.
Yeah, so Simon Imark, he came alone to the finish on the first leg. He had like a minute gap down to the second group. And I think it was around 10, 12 teams there. And then it was another 2.5 minutes down to the bigger third group. So quite a lot of differences there. And for a guy like Imark, running a really good first leg like this in very good competition, that's something that's going to count positive for him when the Swedes are going to select the relay teams for European Championship and for for the World Cup relay in Finland. So yeah, something to look out for there. I think he could be a potential first leg runner in Sweden, in the first or second team of Sweden, for Sweden at the European Champs. But yeah, in the relay, Tulling is pretty much irrelevant. And yeah, after the second leg, we had Stora Tuna in the lead. Henrik Johannesson ran them up from fifth place to first place, but it was extremely close, and it was 12 teams within 2.5 minutes starting out on the last leg. But yeah, when Viktor Svensky starting out with the lead, yeah, he had, for example, 1.5 minute down to Gustav Bergman. He had 1 minute down to Albin Riedefeld. Then you kind of give him a good chance to stay away. And it seemed like the first few controls, he was starting really well, and Gustav Bergman was not really catching that much. But then Viktor made a huge mistake. Yeah, it seemed like he ended up like 500 meters to the left of the control he was going to. And yeah, there he lost two and a half minutes, and Bergman passed him and yeah, was out of sight. And Viktor Svensk could never really recover from that. So victory for Uko Ravinen. Two times Granqvist, Emil Granqvist on the first leg, Axel Granqvist on the second, and then Gustav Bergman on the third. So quite a nice revenge for Uko Ravinen after the disastrous Tuomela. Stora Tuna takes the second place. And then we had a really great battle for the third place where we got a big surprise actually in Bredaryd. Axel Elmblad with a fantastic last leg, beating IFK Göteborg and Uko Linné for the last spot on the podium. So chapeau to the young team of Bredaryd with Linus Lundberg on the first leg, able to limit the time losses, 4 minutes behind, yes, but in 25th place, so in connection with a lot of other good teams. Emil Auselius ran a really good second leg. He was one of the fastest there, taking them up to 11th place. And then Axel Elmblad with the second fastest time. Only Gustav Bergman was faster on the last leg. He took them from 11th to 3rd. So that's really cool to see. You have a team like Bredaryd with, yeah, quite a lot of good, solid runners that are pretty young. And of course, they are far away from being competitive in the end of Tuomela, for example. But they, in these kind of relays, they can do really well. And hopefully they can stay together and maybe, yeah, develop a little bit more. And then maybe in 2-3 years time, they are suddenly also in the top 10 at Tuomela and Ukkola.
And as you mentioned, it was Gustav Bergman is telling to Even National that it was good to show that they are better what in Ravine and that what they have shown so far in their relay season. And he's also mentioning that it has been quite a lot of competitions and not so much recovery lately. So he felt quite tired this weekend, but he assumed that also the others had the same feeling. In Switzerland, it was really a lot of sprinting this weekend with both knockout day and individual day. And in the middle of that, it was also a forest race on Saturday.
Yeah, so tough program if you want to run everything. But yeah, the forest race was not selection race. There was basically none of the top runners were running there. It started with the knockout day. A pretty tough knockout day. First round individual sprint. Then a second round is this kind of, they have this kind of sprint test on the track with, you know, a lot of running and then some twists and turns and maybe a bit of jumping and stuff. And then you had two heats of knockout sprint. One, the first one where it was like based on the individual prologue, individual quali. So the top six runs the A final, the next six run the B final. And then the final is the same, but based on this sprint test on the track. So, yeah, physically a very good simulation of a full knockout sprint day. You also get two very competitive heats with mass starts knockout format. So, yeah, a tough day. And, yeah, we saw some interesting results, I think. In the qualifier, it was really, really close on the women's side. Tuva Alexandersson was there as a guest runner and she was winning the prologue, beating Natalia Gempla with 2 seconds and Simone Eberschold with 10 seconds. But it was, yeah, six or seven girls within 20 seconds of Tuve. So, yeah, normally you don't see that many girls close to her. So that was a bit of a surprise for me. On the men's side, Tino Polsini, he took revenge after his weak last leg for Södertälje in Tiomila. His sprint form is obviously a little bit better than his Forest form at the moment. Won the individual qualifier 3 seconds ahead of Timo Sutter. Daniel Hubman in third place was almost 20 seconds down. And so, yeah, two guys really in a class of their own here. And then it was extremely close. But it is often like this when you run 8-9 minutes. It's hard to make huge differences. Sprint test on the track. Tove Alexandersson showed again that her physical form is really good, beating Simon Averill with 10 seconds there. Among the men, Joey Hawthorn, after a really bad individual qualifier, he ran the fastest time on the track. So his physical form is obviously at a really high level. But his technical form at the moment is not right there. But he will see if he can be able to catch up in the 2 weeks' time before World Cup.
Yeah, and in the final round, Simone Eversol stepped forward in the women's class.
Yeah, so Tove, she was taking part in the two first rounds. Then she was racing against the women. And then in the two knockout heats, then she was racing against the worst men. So she was not racing against the Swiss women there. And of course, without Tove, then it was a pretty straightforward way for Simone Eberschold on the first final. I'm not sure if it says that she won double, but from what I've heard, she actually lost the sprint in the second one, where she got beaten by Martina Rouge. Early in that final, Simone Eberschold made a pretty big mistake, losing 10-12 seconds, and then she was able to catch up, but it probably cost a little bit too much, and then she got beaten in the sprint with like maybe a meter or something like that to Martina Rouge. On the men's side, Ricardo Rankan and Joey Hawthorn won each the A finals. So Ricky Rankan won the first one, and then Joey the last one after the as it was based on the sprint test, he was in the A final. On the one that was based on the individual sprint, Joey was running in the C final, I think, because his qualifier was really bad.
So, is the worth mentioning anything more about this knockout day? Sounds really tough and hectical.
Yeah, and it's also a bit chaotic when you look at it in a selection kind of way, because you have four races in a day. But it's not like a real knockout sprint where you, in the end up with the six best girls in the final, best girls or best men in the final. So it's a bit, I find it a bit hard to really read a lot into it because, of course, you have the best ones. You know that they are doing really, really good. And you can look at that. Okay, that's obvious that Simona is doing the best of the Swiss girls, for example. But if you look at the girls in position 5 to 12 or something like that, basically, everyone has one really good race, they have one good race, they have one medium race, and they have one bad race. And then it's really hard to... I find it a bit hard to read a lot of things into this in a selection kind of way. But luckily, there's also the sprint championship that was also a selection race. So I think the coaches, they will have enough data to do a good selection.
Yeah, as you mentioned, it was this forest race on Saturday with not so good competitions. But even though Simone Eversol, she showed up there.
Yeah, she was cruising around. But as she was the only one from the national team running, she won quite easily, even if she didn't go max. Anina Singh in second and Lisa Schubnell in third. Not top names. On the men's side, Andreas Sølberg, the Norwegian guy living in Switzerland, he was running a really good race. And when most of the top names were missing, it was a quite easy win for him, beating Terence Ries with 2.5 minutes and Florian Schneider with 3.5 minutes. Not much to put a lot of effort into to analyze this.
As I saw the terrain, it was quite like Andreas Sølberg has been doing a lot of in Norway with many contour lines and he has been grown up in Trøndelag running in.
Yeah,
wasn't that correct?
And it was for Swiss style, it was really, they were very lyrical about their marshes in this terrain. But yeah, I mean, it was I was also out in the forest and it felt a bit like, you know, a little bit of a wet field. But the terrain was amazing, even if the marshes are not of Norwegian standards.
From marshes on Saturday to the Swiss champs in the sprint individually on Sunday, and here it was really many participating, 70 men, but we start with the women's class.
Yeah, and here we saw some big differences between the absolute world class and the rest. Tove Alexandersson beating Simone Abishol with 20 seconds. Deborah Stadle in third place is 1 minute and 15 behind. Natalia Gempele, fourth in the race, third of the Swiss. A few seconds behind Stadle. The young Ines Berger in fifth place, running really well. Paula Gross and Elin Gempele sharing the sixth place. But then we are more than 1.5 minute behind. And this was a sprint where Tove ran less than 12 minutes. So the gaps were massive.
And Tove, she is commenting to Even National that it was a stable race, and she's hoped that the form in the sprint is coming now to the World Cup races.
Yeah, and I think if you look at, what's it, 3 weeks ago, she ran a sprint in Switzerland, and then she ran the Swedish sprint selection races. And yeah, last time she got beaten by Simone Abishol with like 50 seconds. She got beaten by Hanna Lundberg in Sweden. Now she's beating Simona with 20 seconds, and she also beat her in the individual sprint in the knockout day. So, I mean, it's really trending in the right direction for Tove.
Yeah, definitely. And this was quite an impressive win. And it was quite impressive also in the men's class.
Yeah, Tino Porcini won the individual quali on the knockout day, and he also won the individual sprint. 21 seconds ahead of Daniel Hubmann, 22 seconds ahead of Ricardo Rankan. Then it was extremely close behind for the medals. Fabian Abishold in fourth place, Joey Hadron in fifth place, Flora Nutting in sixth place. So Flora Nutting in sixth place is only 8 seconds from the silver medal. So really close there. And then it's also worth noting that the juniors were running the same courses as the elite. And the winner of the men 18, Mathieu Bührer, he had the same time as Florian Attinger, that was sixth in the elite class. So some really fast sprinting from the young Bührer.
Yeah, and some really fast sprinting also for men 40. He was aiming for a new title 20 years after his first in the sprint, Daniel Hubmann. But he didn't manage to get the title. Tino Porcini edged him out quite a bit. And Tino is telling to Even National that his race was really clean. No real mistakes and no routes he could have done differently either. So it was a really perfect race for him, giving him his first ever Swiss champs gold medal.
Yeah, and I think Tino is one of those guys that, yeah, I think we will see it on, we are recording this on Monday evening, and on Tuesday the Swiss team has this 5,000 meter track. This is the last of the selection races, and I think we will see it there that Tino Porcini is not one of the fastest guys pure running wise, but yeah, he has a very smooth sprint technique, a little bit like Daniel Hubmann. I mean, Hubmann was also, he was of course a very fast runner, but yeah, when he was winning his world championship title, for example, in 17 and 18, he was already getting pretty old, and on the track he was not anywhere near the fastest, but yeah, he had a really, really good flow in the sprint technique, and could run very close to his own limit, while others have to slow down more to read the map. And I think Tino Porcini is kind of the same attributes as a sprinter in tier.
His attribute was clearly enough to take a great victory here, at least. Really impressive. And if we move across the border to Austria and look at their Austrian champs in knockout, that also was held this weekend, we could see that there was a junior winning. Actually, not an Australian either in the women's class. Best time, at least.
Yeah, not an Austrian, yeah. So Rita Maramarosi, junior world champion from Hungary, she was taking part here in the Austrian champs. And she really went on a knockout in the final, beating Anna Gröll with 12 seconds, beating Anna Simkovic with 23 seconds, and Karina Polse with 40 seconds. So yeah, the young Hungarian girl was on a completely different level than the other Austrian girls here in the final. But that's also no surprise. I mean, Maren Rossi, junior world champion, she's already showed on in that she's have a very, very high level at the elite level. It wouldn't surprise me if she's in the top 10 at the world championship this year in the elite class. She's, of course, the huge favorite for the J-Box sprint as well. She's running... So I think she's running so stable in sprint orienteering. Basically, every race she does and you see the results and you think, whoa, that's really good from Rita Maren Rossi. So yeah, no surprise that she's winning a race in this competition.
But I feel also it's worth noting that both Maren Rossi and Hornick are taking the chance to do a knockout day because you don't get the opportunity to have those days. And when there are some... doing this with high quality and then you are traveling there to get these high quality trainings to get on the top internationally.
Yep, and also Maren Rossi's companion from the Hungarian national team, Zoltán Bojdosó, was running in the men's class, the former junior world champion from middle distance in 22. But there we got an Austrian victory because Matthias Reiner, he was the fastest guy. Janis Bonek, back from his concussion, second place, 8 seconds behind Reiner. Zoltán Bojdosó in third place was 9 seconds behind. So we had a sprint there between Bonek and Bojdosó. And then Matthias Petri in fourth place of the race, but then third Austrian, 12 seconds down. So yeah, I think, yeah, of course, this is part of the selection races for the Austrians. I think it's good that runners like Maren Rossi and Zoltán Bojdosó, they are... Yeah, of course, the Hungarian elite level is not that big and you need to take the chance to run some good quality competitions. And then when you can take part in Austrian Championship, it's a good test before the World Cup.
And from sprinting and national champs in sprint and selections, we will end with actually a forest race of a long distance in Latvia.
Yeah, that's a bit random. Every nation is fully focusing on sprint, and then Latvia has their long distance championship. Unfortunately, not with all the best runners there. For example, we mentioned that Sandra Grossberger, she was running in Finland. So on the women's side, Elsa Kuse was winning with 8 minutes, I think, ahead of Signe Sirma. And then the gap down to the third place was... 15 minutes, so yeah, not very competitive there. But as we saw in Tuomela, Elsa Kuse is she's a very, very good runner. She's been taking nice steps forwards the last two, three years, and she's also one of those girls you kind of expect to step up internationally. I mean, obviously she's still a bit away from top six level, top 10 level, but I mean, top 20 when it comes to forest races in the autumn, that should be within reach. And as a young runner, she can only improve. One of those girls that is interesting to follow in a bit of a longer perspective. For example, for the world champs in 27 or in 29, that's maybe where we can expect her to be at her best.
And there was a bit older guys who was taking the top position in the men's class.
Yeah, I think the winner isn't that old. Uldis Upitis, for me, he's young. I think he's only like 25 or 26. Clear with three, but then we get to the older ones, as you were thinking about for the silver and bronze medal. Edgar Spertuks in second place, but 6 minutes down. Kristaps Jautstems in third place, 8 minutes down. So yeah, not as clear victories as on the women's side, but still pretty clear victory for Uldis Upitis. But yeah, also here we're missing some of the best runners, so not the most competitive field. But still, national championship title is always a national championship title.
There has been a lot of national championships in this episode, but next week we will see who will take the chance to get some really sprint trainings in Belgium, as we have this awesome with both individual sprint and a world ranking in knockout sprint also.
Yeah, I think there is not a lot of top names there, but there we will see Yannick Michels and Efan Dong in action. And it, of course, it will be interesting to see if we can read something from their performances is awesome as something to use to predict their results in the upcoming World Cup. There's also German championship in middle distance, and there are also some races in Hungary, which is they're called selection races. I'm not really sure what the selection race is for, probably for the World Cup, even if it's only 1 week away. It's a world ranking sprint and also a world ranking middle, so it will be interesting to see some results from there. But yeah, it's the coming weekend is a bit light on orienteering. It's been a very intensive period, and we are heading into the World Cup periods with 2 weeks in a row, so it suits good to have a weekend with almost no important races. So then in the next episode, we can put the main focus on the World Cup preview.
Yeah, because that will be the main focus in next episode. Hope we have you have enjoyed listening to us this week, and that you will be back listening next week, then with the World Cup preview, as I mentioned.
Until then, bye-bye. Mannen drog ut och löp orientering med kart och kompass och med riktiga sko. Sikta sågar ett bästa notering för kroppen var lätt och god. I vår National Orienteering Podcast, Map and Compass, Navigation Skill, Orienteering Competition. Jag har mött någon jävlig på bossen här uppe. Running like a motherfucker. I vår National Orienteering Podcast.